years ago, in a former church appointment, I had the joy and honor of meeting a woman named Evelyn. She was an amazing lady. She was a prayer. She prayed for everyone. When we ever had needs in the congregation, you pick up the phone and call Evelyn and she'd be praying. She would pray for you whether you knew it or not. And she would often pray for you not knowing your needs. Week after week and month after month, I would get a card from her in the mail saying, "I prayed for you today." I don't know how she knew it, but when she was praying for me, I needed it. She was an amazing saint of God, an amazing saint filled with God's amazing grace. Evelyn was always trying to help people, reaching out in service and in love, until cancer hit her. Breast cancer, metastasized lung, ovarian, bone marrow. And one after the other, chemo and surgery and other forms of therapy, every time she would beat one down, another one would come up. And through it all, she never lost the love and joy of Christ in her life. The love like the love of a little child looking at the world in wonder. Big eyes filled with faith. That was Evelyn. And through the midst of all the surgeries and the procedures and the tests, she never lost her laugh, her smile, and her prayer life. She continued to pray. Well, towards the end of my pastorate there, we knew that her time was short. It had developed into pancreatic cancer, and she was terminal. But they were trying yet more radical chemotherapy in an attempt to prolong her life. And before one of those tests, and it was going to be a horrible one, and the infusion was to occur, and we knew it was going to be absolutely terrible, and so I went to see her. They put her in the hospital for it, and I went to see her, and it was everything I could do to spend just an hour with her and not cry. And we talked about everything under the sun. Her family, my family, the church, the needs of the members in it. We talked about everything but her. Until finally, just before they came to get her, she said, "Let's pray." And she took my hands, and I opened my mouth to start to try to croak out some kind of a prayer, feeling totally inadequate. And Evelyn opened her mouth and began to pray. And she prayed for her husband, and she prayed for her daughter, and she prayed for her church, and she prayed for me, her pastor. In a prayer that brought tears that I'd been trying to hold back, they brought tears to my eyes. When she finished praying, I opened my mouth and croaked again. Sounded like a frog. And I reached in and took out a little vial of oil that I carry with me on hospital visits. And I took the oil and I signed her forehead and thanked God for Evelyn. In that conversation, one thing became clear. Evelyn, even though she was sick, even though she was dying with cancer, Evelyn, even though she had tumors throughout her body, Evelyn, even though she had pancreatic cancer, Evelyn was healed. Evelyn was whole. She was at one with Christ. She was at one with God. She had no true fears. Oh, she was scared of the procedures and she didn't like hurting, and who does? But there was no eternal fear in her eyes or heart. She was afraid of the pain, but she wasn't afraid of Jesus' love and care for her. She had already been healed. The curing was yet to come, but the healing, the true spiritual, emotional healing, was already there. So often we talk and think about healing, and what we're really talking and thinking about is magic. It's magic. That's what we want. We want magic. Give us a show. That's what you see when you turn on the television set and you go skimming around the channels and you find the TV preachers and evangelists and whatnot healing folk. Remember Ernest Angley? Be healed! I mean, you know, I'd like to be healed of my bald head. Come on, can you do that? No. He wore a toupee. We want magic in our culture and world today, not true healing. We want magic. We want a show. We want recognition, not true spiritual healing. That's what Naaman wanted in the story today. Oh, Naaman needed healing. Naaman, a powerful military general in the armies of Aram. Naaman, a very powerful man, was able to hide, keep secret from the world, a condition, a serious evil condition, as horribly destructive in their day as AIDS is in ours. He had leprosy. And normally, people who had leprosy were shunned, pushed away, because it was an infectious disease and people were afraid of getting it, and so they were shunned and pushed away. He, because he was powerful and rich, was able to hide it and maintain his position as a military general. And he had heard from one of his servants that there was a mighty prophet in Israel who could heal, who could speak the words of God and who could tell him what to do and who could heal him. And God, the Lord God, would heal him. And so Naaman went to Israel. And after going to visit the king of Israel, he went on to see Elisha, the mighty prophet. Only he didn't get to see Elijah directly. As the story goes in 2 Kings, Elisha sent a messenger to him. Didn't go himself, sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." Now, Naaman was a great, big, powerful military general. He knew that when he said something, it'd be done. He had authority and power. And he was important. Not some nobody. He was important. He expected Elisha to come out and to wave his hand and to say some words, abracadabra, alakazam, and heal him. He whines about it here in the passage. You know, I figured he'd come out and wave his hands and work a miracle. Give me some magic. If all it takes is bathing, I got 2 rivers in Damascus I could go and bathe in. Why should I bathe in the muddy Jordan River? And then the hero of the story is his servants. The servant comes and says, "Master, Father, Lord, if it had been a hard thing, if he told you to go defeat an army or slay a dragon or build a city, if it had been a really flashy, hard thing to do, you would have done it, right? I know you. You would have done it. You would have done what he said. But since it's nothing special, why can't you do that too?" The servant knew his master, didn't he? Oh, master wanted magic, or he wanted to be in center stage. Look at me. Look at what I can do. I deserve healing. No. "Go do something simple," Elisha said. "Wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be healed." We want magic. Naaman wanted magic. He wanted attention. He wanted to be in a special position. He wanted a show, or he wanted to be the center of attention. He didn't really want healing. What do we want? Do we want healing? Do we want curing? I know I do. In 2001, I had a deep vein thrombosis in my right leg. And being Mr. Superman that I was, I can preach with a deep vein thrombosis. Oh, this clot ain't gonna kill me. I'm young and fresh. I'm going to live. I'm going to preach, and nothing's going to stop me. But the pain was so bad and so debilitating that I could barely stand for 10 minutes to preach a sermon. So finally, regretfully, reluctantly, I got in the car to drive myself to the hospital. And out on 635, 3 miles from Medical City, the clot decided to break. And the doctor said I was 2 millimeters. Had it bounced off of one wall and not the other in the artery, had it gone through my heart just a different way, had it hit my lungs in a slightly different way, the pulmonary embolism would have hit both lungs, and I would have died. As it was, it wiped out one. And if it hadn't been for that clot going just the right way, I would have died. If it hadn't been for the police officer in the car behind me, who saw it happen, saw the blood hit the inside of my windshield, thought I'd been shot. When I pulled over to the side of the road, gasping for breath and vomiting blood, if he hadn't gotten out and come to check on me and pushed me over and driven me in my own car the rest of the way to Medical City, I would have died. If it hadn't been for doctors and nurses who cared for me, if it hadn't been for a bishop and district superintendent and church members, even down to little children who prayed for me, if it hadn't been for God's grace guiding them all, I would have died. All because I didn't do something simple. Didn't go early on to a doctor. Didn't take care of myself. Do we want magic? Or do we want healing? There are many kinds of healing. There's physical healing. I've seen physical healing. I've seen it in my mother. I've seen it in church members. I've seen a woman with cancer, ovarian cancer, with a tumor so large that she would never eat again if she survived, they said. And today, every time she goes to see that doctor, she takes a ham and cheese sandwich and she sits there and eats it in his presence to prove God's healing power. I've seen physical healing. Physical curing. I've seen spiritual healing, emotional healing, the transformation of broken hearts and broken spirits and broken minds. I've seen God work miracles, true miracles. And miracles aren't magic. Miracles occur when God comes and is with us. Miracles occur right here and right now in this place. Because Jesus is here today. Do you want miracle? Or do you want magic? Do you want healing? Or do you want magic? We want a show! Well, then you don't want God. We want attention. We want to be center stage. Well, then you don't want God. I'm preaching to myself right now, friends. What's important? This physical body? Yeah, the physical body's important. I don't like to hurt. Having a pulmonary embolism hurts, friends. I don't like to hurt. And we're supposed to take care of this body that God gives us. But what's important is the healing of the spirit, the healing of the soul. And the body follows that. Evelyn was healed. She was whole with God. She was whole with herself. And she was whole with her family and friends and with me. And when she went home to glory just a few weeks later, she had full, complete, utter, and eternal healing, friends. She was healed in glory. What do you want? Magic? It's magic? Abracadabra, alakazam, hocus pocus? Or do you want healing, true, eternal healing? Naaman did something simple. He did what he was told to do, and he experienced healing, spiritual, emotional, and physical. May we too do what we're told and live by faith and trust Jesus. Believe that the kingdom is here now in our midst. When we do that, when we really do that, when we really act and live in faith, my friends, my sisters and brothers in Christ, when we do this, we do indeed experience healing. In the history of the church, we have applied oil as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace and healing. And today, at the end of the message, I invite you to come forward to receive a touch of the healing oil that God has for you, to receive healing in spirit and in soul and in mind and in body. You may kneel and pray at the altar, and then you may return to your seat. This is time for you, my friends, to do a simple thing, to get up and come forward and receive a simple symbol of God's grace.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.